You're listening to Action Magazine, the podcast, the weekly download on what's shaping in the future of film, festivals, and the creative voices behind entertainment. I'm your host, Victoria, filmmaker, documentarist, and editor-in-chief of Action Magazine. From solo insights to on-the-ground festival coverage and stories from across the creative world, this podcast keeps you in action. Welcome to episode 15 of Action Magazine, the podcast. In today's episode, we're going to have a conversation with Sadia Ash, producer of the new short film Almost Home. Let's get to it. Hi.
Hi, Victoria. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Okay. How are you doing? Which city are you in?
I'm in Orlando.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So it's always like warm and sunny, right?
Always. Yeah. We don't have barely a winter, maybe January, but that's about it.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I'm in Los Angeles. Oh, so, you know, similar, but not that cold, right?
Like, yeah. It's so
sometimes.
It's wonderful weather there for sure.
Yeah.
It's perfect, I think.
How long have you been working for Action Magazine?
It's going to be a year. It's actually mine. I'm the editor-in-chief.
Oh, wonderful. Yes. So we're speaking to the right people.
Yes, exactly. I love to do interviews. I'm a filmmaker myself, so I always love to conduct the interviews and ask the right questions and all that.
And meet the right people. And, you know, obviously it helps to inform you as well.
Just so you know a little bit about the magazine, we give voice to emerging filmmakers, creatives out there. We try to bring inspiring stories, talk about films, really give voice. So it's always a pleasure to explore different films and talk about these projects, not just from a journalistic view, but I like to ask questions about the filmmaking process and all of that, because I think it's really interesting and everyone has something different to teach or to share. So it's always a wonderful opportunity to ask those questions. And first of all, I watched the trailer for the film. I loved the story. I work with veterans, so I love the feel of bringing those stories to life. I think it's beautiful and it should be told, especially as powerful as, you know, someone that is Muslim and American. It's something that we don't see every day, and I think a lot of people should hear more about it. It's a very powerful narrative. So can you give us a brief introduction about yourself and about the film?
Yeah, so my name is Sadia Ashraf, and I am the producer of the film. I am a filmmaker in Los Angeles. I primarily am a writer for several different films in LA. I've sold a lot of my projects. I primarily tend to do thrillers. And when I saw this film, I was really attracted to it because I was like, it's something like you mentioned, Victoria, that we haven't really seen before, because it seems to have a lot of like elements that are sometimes sidelined in the media. And so it was almost like building a narrative to tell our own stories, which is what attracted me to the project. And then I came on.
And where did the inspiration come to bring specifically this story to life?
I think with Kamal, who is kind of like, you know, the person who wrote the film and came up with the idea, and then all of us kind of, you know, joined him on his journey. The genesis for that was his father served in the military, and, you know, primarily a lot of Muslims in America tend to go towards, as immigrants or second generational, you know, immigrants, they tend to go towards safe careers. Like, so I'm a Muslim American, and a lot of my family is straight up doctors and engineers, right? My sister is a Google engineer. So it seems to be those are the safe spaces. So then how do we navigate spaces and build our own medias where none exists? And so that's where the genesis of this came up. And then Minhaj Huda, who is the British Bangladeshi American director of the film, and, you know, he's done Flash, he's done Winchester's Batwoman. So he's done a lot of television as well as a lot of good films in the past. And he was attracted to the project, I believe, because he really liked the idea of bringing these underrepresented voices.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And how long did it take to shoot and to edit this film?
The filming process was around roughly 4 days in Los Angeles, in Santa Clarita. We did a lot of the outdoor scenes, and we used a lot of special effects later on. And then during the filming as well, we worked with a really great producing partner of mine, Pamela, who is a veteran of television, and you know, she was at Paramount for a long time, and so she had a lot of contacts and connections, and so did Minhad, that we were able to leverage to really do a high quality filming to make it look like it was Afghanistan and there was war, you know. And it was kind of funny because we were all scared at one point. We're like, we're blowing stuff up in LA. Should we be doing this as Muslims? You know, this is not a good look on us.
That's wonderful. And as a producer, what were some challenges that you faced during production? How did you overcome them? How did you work in the collaborative environment with everyone? How was that process for you?
I think like one of the things that I think about when I'm working on set, so I primarily am a writer, but when I'm working on set or I'm a producer on set, I think of myself as being a firefighter, right? Because it's not about one person, right? You're a team that builds a beautiful film together. In my past, I've done novels. I've written novels as well as a writer. And that is a solitary kind of a thing, or an artist doing a canvas. But when you're making a film, it's like you're bringing the whole tribe together. It's a community project, right? So it cannot be about one person's ego. It has to be about how do we make this film the best version of the film using everybody's talents. So to go back to my initial point is that being a firefighter, you just kind of put out the fires as they come along.
Yeah.
But don't add to the fires by starting new fires is a good way to run a film set, I think.
Definitely. And what do you hope people will feel while watching the film or that they will take away from the story?
I'll give you two answers to that. One is last week I watched it in the Burbank Film Festival with, you know, a full packed audience. And so it was really exciting to see everybody's reaction. I have to say that seeing it in the big IMAX theater and, you know, in the MC kind of made me teary-eyed, even though I had been such a big part of it. I don't, you know, as filmmakers, why do we all love film? Because we love the moving image, right?
Exactly.
We love to be in the darkened theater to see our beautiful stories on film. But when we have our stories to tell and you see them on screen, it's kind of like jarring at first. And even that film made me laugh and cry. And I was like, you know, it's interesting what an impact films has. And so I hope that it can make people laugh and cry. There are parts of it, it's a very condensed film for 20 minutes. There's so much to explore there. And I hope that people can take away from it that we're all the same and we're all struggling with the same issues like PTSD, which they explore, culture nuances, hatred and racism. And yet we're all humans and blood runs thicker than, you know, culture or religion. And if there's a way for us all to unite in a world that's right now very disunited by war,
yes,
it would be, that's the message I want people to take from this, that we're all humans, we're all the same, we all have stories to share, and film gives us an opportunity to demystify that.
Exactly. And that was another question I had. How did you guys balance bringing such important themes, trauma, all those feelings that the character is feeling, balance that with feelings of humanity, hope, the lightness of the other side of it? How did you balance those together?
You mean in making the film or in the script process?
In the script process, in the narrative process.
Sorry. Well, I think if you don't mind repeating the question,
yes.
I'm just going to try to formulate it because I feel like I might be misunderstanding.
The film talks a lot about, you know, trauma, PTSD, very tough subjects, as you mentioned. But also, you guys have to bring in the feeling of hope, resilience, the other side of it, the lightness of it. How did you combine those two in the narrative, in the story, portraying those two elements together to create the movie?
I think one of the most important things is the aspect of having children in there. You see, children are not just a narrative tool, but they give you hope. It creates more of a vulnerability to the central protagonist's journey. As you know, you're a filmmaker, so you know that. When you add children to the mix, it serves two functions. It gives you hope for the future. And the last scene ends with our central protagonist helping his son who's hurt. And then they say that we're almost home, meaning like the journey of PTSD and not being able to reconnect with my son because I'm a suffering battle-scarred Marine is coming to an end, hopefully. Or maybe it's a new beginning or a new hope. And I feel like hope is what keeps us all going. I mean, isn't that what drives us filmmakers too? The hope that our stories will be seen, the hope that, you know, we can have a better world.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that does. And I think the kids, it's an element that for sure brings hope, because he's back to the transition back to real life. It's very tough for a veteran. I've spoken to many, and they always say that they never transition back. They're always still there, you know, in their minds. And the family knows, they go through it together after. So it's having the kids there, I think it's so important, because it shows how the family deals with it. And I think that brings a sense of hope, because they're there trying to bring their dad back, which is not easy sometimes. So I think, yeah, that's a wonderful balance for the story for sure. And again, you guys talk about some delicate elements. How did you bring that authenticity of what real veterans feel into a fictional character?
Yeah. I think one of the good things about having a few people on set that were, you know, actually had veterans, including Pamela, who is one of our producers, and then having Kamal be kind of like the lead actor and writer, who also had a father that had briefly, or I think, like, I'm not exactly sure, served in the military for how long, I'm not sure. But that helped us frame the narrative in a realistic way. We also think that this is a social impact film, and we have a social impact producer, Farida Rafiq, who is going to be on Veterans Day creating a package so that people can kind of create a bridge between us and some of the traumas that we have discussed, so that military personnel and people that are serving or people that have served or are veterans can gain some insight from this film in their lives, right? Because at the end of the day, that's what I think our goal was, to not just light a spark into the narrative that, oh yeah, this is about Muslim Americans and it's something different that's generally not discussed about us, because we're usually framed in these negative narratives. So when we tell our stories, we tell the stories that are really important to us. But on a second level, the film works as just like a general American film that can be under the military kind of genre, because, you know, those stories are also very important to tell, you know, especially with the world being, I'm sorry, our world is a military industrial complex. Yes. And, you know, we're all kind of stuck in it. And so how do we break it down and, you know, kind of piecemeal it for people, so to speak?
Exactly. Because we usually see a lot of documentaries that talk about those stories. It's rare to see a film, which it's so unique about this film specifically, because you see from a different perspective rather than a documentary. And I think it's more challenging to bring the emotions of what the character is feeling through a narrative than a documentary, where you're seeing a real person telling the story. And what were some key elements that you guys kept in mind to bring those feelings to life? What are some technical elements that you guys input in the story or in the filming, the composition?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of some of the composition was framed with Golden Hour. You know, it gives that sense of feeling that twilight is near, so there's this sense of sadness. Then when it came to framing the narrative within, you know, originally the script, I really was trying to push for ocean scenes, you know, because I feel like the waves, yeah, and that journey, but we settled on swimming pool with a deep mountain view, because, you know, those are the challenges when you're a filmmaker. You just have to pivot according to your filming schedule and everybody's availability. And we had such amazing actors, like, for example, Bernard White, who we are very happy with, you know, who also played a military veteran, mm-hmm, and an older kind of like foil to our character, and gave him such excellent advice, like he was the Yoda character of the film, you know, with the wise old man, and he did, yeah, such a fantastic job. But I think some of the way that we compose things, and I know that Minhaj Huda, who was the director, he composed things in such a way as to frame wider compositions when it was a family scene. But when it came to the PTSD and the trauma, he tried to make it so that we're almost in a fishbowl with our central character.
Yeah.
And then we're marinating in his misery, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Because he's going through so much trauma, and it's almost like his journey as he's going through these difficulties, and we're following him. You can see the difficulties with the challenges of not communicating with his wife, you know, because,
yeah,
a lot of times with veterans, the relationship breaks down. Then we, definitely, see the challenge with him not being able to even, he just becomes numb. And I think it's kind of like, instead of reacting angrily, we try to show his inner world through film so that even though there's no dialogue, we can see it, whether it's him looking in the mirror, whether it's jagged motions of the camera, you know? So I think Minhaj framed the compositions really well. And Thomas Harding, our cinematographer, did a fantastic job. So we added such a great team, actually. I don't know, again, if that answered your question, but the thing is, like, you're, to go back to the community aspect, you're only as good as your team, exactly. I feel. Like, in this film, we had such amazing crew and cast and, you know, people behind the scenes that I think that that was what worked in our favor.
Exactly. And speaking of casting, how was the casting process? Because it's so important to have the right actors, especially for a specific film like this. How was that process for you guys, selecting the actors, doing the casting, doing the chemistry on screen as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Bernard White, who I've mentioned before, he played the uncle character. I had seen him in Silicon Valley, and I reached out to him to cast him in that role, you know, once we polished the script. And he was just wonderful to work with. Erica Ibsen plays Amir's wife. She was just wonderful. And I think she really brought a lot of energy to the film as a very believable wife. And then Kamal Khan, who is our lead actor, as well as, you know, kind of the main force behind the film. His children actually also act. And so Alina Khan and Rayan Khan came on board as his kids. So it added like this depth to the film, you know, kind of like they're definitely his kids. So it was very interesting. And it's always fun working with children, you know, kind of like when we were carrying the chocolate cake, I think somebody was asking, can I eat it? You know, so it's like fun.
Yeah, it brings lightness into everything for sure. And you mentioned you guys had explosion scenes, some scenes with special effects. How was that approach? What are some of the challenges that you guys faced to do those intense scenes?
I think one of the things that is unusual for a film like this, because we had veterans from television like Minhaj Huda and Pamela and people like Rob Harper, you know, who did Transportation, for example, they were able to tap into the already pre-existing infrastructure, Hollywood's, you know, ready to go kind of television series action. So I know you're an action magazine, so there was a lot of action in it. And I think like the other authentic thing that they did was they got a lot of military personnel to be able to be the soldiers in the beginning. So we tapped into, you know, the VA, and we tapped into, you know, like the actual network of the soldiers and the transportation systems here that are already pre-existing. So
yeah,
special effects too that can blow things up safely came through our seasoned television producers.
Okay.
So I think they were able to really like do a fantastic job. The challenge that came was we were filming in April, and although it was really nice weather, it got really cold during the night when we were filming, and it got really hot during the day. So it was like just transitioning our actors and also keeping children, you know. And I do believe that the action scenes, we tried to do as much as possible during one day in Santa Clarita in the desert somewhere, and tried to make it look like Afghanistan. It's just, you know, you have such a finite amount of time to get the shot right, especially when you're quote unquote blowing things up with you know, special effects. So some of it I supervised later on in VFX. So I did more of the VFX part of it, whereas Pamela and Minhaj were more responsible for the actual set special effects.
Yes.
You know, and the challenges came from just having children on set, doing the controls, you know, not having TV studio to work in, doing an independent film, but using the same quality of talent that Hollywood is famous for. So yeah, I mean, I think it worked out in the sense that when people see it, they get a little shocked, like, wow, you guys. And I think one of the things that we also did was we didn't, it's an independent film, so we didn't have like endless budget. So we had to be very sparse and careful with how we were able to utilize that talent as well as resources.
Yeah, that's definitely the challenge, is, you know, dividing the budget right, making sure it fits the schedule and all that, making the right choices in the right time for sure. And how would you define the film in three words?
Impactful. Helpful. These are two words, but shattering stereotypes.
Awesome.
I cheated.
No, that's good. Let's make it's just one. And the film is playing multiple festivals. Can you talk a little bit about that? Where can we expect to see the film from now on?
I know that currently the film is lined up at the Sphere Film Festival in Seattle, which is an Oscar qualifying film
Wow.
festival. So we're very thrilled about that. And that helps a lot because, as you know, once you get into an Oscar qualifying film festival, it opens up some bigger doors. And so the film is also going to be played at, recently it was at the Burbank Film Festival, and it's been doing the rounds in so many film festivals, and we have been extremely thrilled. And we also have a website
Okay.
for the film Almost Home, so we update the schedule quite regularly, and we're also very active on Instagram. So it's, I think it's just hashtag Almost Home Film,
Okay.
and then Kamal Khan, who is our main actor, also has his own website, so he keeps updating everything. So there's a lot going on because we have so many film festivals that we were lucky and blessed
Yeah.
enough to get into. So I'm excited about what the future holds for the film. Even
That's
though we
wonderful.
literally just finished everything, I think, in a matter of, I think it was 3 months ago that we locked the film, and then suddenly everything is off to the races. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Congratulations for you and the whole team.
Thank you so much.
And last question I have for you is, as a producer, as a woman in film, as a writer, what advice would you give to emerging creatives out there that are starting, especially women, especially international people that are here and want to do films in the US? What is some advice that you would give to them?
My advice is, it takes 1,000 steps to build something, right? To get to your destination. So everybody's always looking for that shortcut. And sometimes those shortcuts work. But I'm an old-fashioned person who believes that there's something called content creation, which is also very valid. But then there's storytelling. And storytelling takes longer because it's longer than 2 minute sound bites and a simple hashtag. You know, it takes years of practice and polishing your craft. So if you have a film or a story to tell, especially people of color or people that are underserved in storytelling, please tell your stories, but just take time in polishing them so that you can raise your bar to the level where people will notice you at a more professional level. It takes time to get there. And the good thing about storytelling is you can write a script, you can make your film. So keep doing it. And then one day you'll be able to see your name up there. And that's the most exciting part. When you're a new filmmaker and you see, like, oh wow, you know, I made a film and people liked it and it's up there. Make a film first for yourself
Yeah.
and then soon you'll learn how to make a film for others. So I make two kinds of films. I make independent films like this, but then I also work with a production company called Traveling Picture Show Company. And we option books and novels that are diverse. One of my projects, Unmarriageable, is based on a very big book called Unmarriageable, and it's like Pride and Prejudice meets
Yeah.
Crazy Rich Asians set in
Wow.
Pakistan. So it's like
Wow.
my big fat Pakistani wedding. And those are the kind of stories that we want to tell
Yeah.
because, you know, it's harder to tell them because people feel like there's no space for them. But then when you do build it, so kind of like if you build it, they will come attitude, you know,
Yeah.
like try to make it happen by advocating for your culture. Or writing the story for your culture and then going out there and trying to connect the dots with how can I get this out, you know? Because
Exactly.
yes, filmmaking is a challenge, but the good thing is nowadays with technology
Yeah.
and even your phones, you know, make a film. And for emerging talent, I always say before you submit, just polish because,
Yeah.
and I'll try to break it down specifically for writing. Writing isn't writing, it's editing. So just make sure your work is polished. And the more you work at it, the better it'll become. I sound
Exactly.
like a boring old professor.
No, you don't. You were saying all the right things, and the kind of work that you're doing, both in this film and the writing that you do, it's so inspiring because I think everyone's a little afraid of telling the stories they want to tell, that they don't do it. Even me, I want to work in this documentary, also with a veteran that I met And he has an amazing story, and I'm always like, I don't know if people will watch it. I don't know how to approach this delicate subject. I don't know anything about it, but it's a story I would love to tell. It's in my gut. And some people are afraid to go and do it because it's not easy, because you're putting your face out there, you're putting your talent out there and telling a story that, you know, in your opinion, it's amazing. You don't know how others will take. But I think being brave and telling those unique stories that you feel are right and should be told, I think it's what people should do nowadays, because we're missing authenticity nowadays. I think everyone's afraid to be authentic. And I think that's the beauty of film, in my opinion.
It's so cool that you mentioned that you have a film burning inside you. I always think of it as a flame that needs to be quenched by the fire of film, you know? So it's like you have this burning desire to do something, and it's a story that keeps you up at night. So I believe that, Victoria, if you have that story, do tell it, because you'd be surprised. And I always tell filmmakers, it's not the what, but the how, exactly. Right? So for example, I could say that, you know, if you break down the story of Pride and Prejudice, it's really basic. But yes. If you break it down and you apply it to every film and you just look at the central protagonist, you know, it's the same hero. It's the same protagonist. So it's just a different framing. It's kind of, I think of it as a mannequin in a store window. You give 10 filmmakers and they'll come up with a different version of it, right?
Exactly.
So it's how you dress that story. So if you're passionate about it and, Victoria, you feel like you need to tell that documentary, you can attract the right talent to it that's available in LA, especially. There's so many people that are looking for work and are also very good collaborators. You'd be able to find that, and then you'd be able to tell that story, but your passion would shine through because you have a wish to tell that story, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm originally from Brazil, and there's a documentary I want to do there. And a question I always had is, how can I do this in Portuguese? Will people watch it, you know? And I think that's something that shouldn't be a question. I think if it's something that I feel it's right, like any other filmmaker, I think you should go ahead and do it, especially if it's from a culture that you feel connected to or a country that you feel connected to. I think it's so important because people have no idea what goes on, the reality of those countries. And I think it's beautiful. It's up on the Amazon that I want to do with the natives. Yeah. So I'm planning on doing that. And I'm really looking forward. It's a risk I'm going to take. It's a big project, but it's something I want to definitely take on.
I think stories transcend borders, right?
Yeah.
Like right now we think of America as the standard, the gold standard for storytelling. But if you look at what's happened in the past few years, basically there's storytelling that is, our storytelling has become viral and has, not viral, I should say, it's become international.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been doing that for 100 years, but what the last 10 years show us is that international storytelling is important. So 70% of American films, the 70% of American film revenue comes from international distribution and sales. 30%, or it's more like 33, my math is terrible because I'm a filmmaker. So it's, you know, 33% comes from the US, which begs the question that, you know, why aren't we making more international content? Latinos are definitely growing. I might be statistically incorrect, but I believe that Gen Z is going to be 50% Latino very soon. And I believe that we already have, you know, 27 to 30% of our population, but only 7% of stories are about Latinos. So the reason I bring up your culture, Brazil, is because my co-producer on Unmarriageable, Luisa, is Brazilian.
Oh, wow.
And she and I always talk about how she related with her Portuguese and, sorry, Brazilian aunts and uncles, like the same characters as the Pakistani aunts and uncles in Unmarriageable. And I always see her culture and I always think, wow, that is so relatable to my culture. So I feel like stories transcend boundaries.
Definitely.
And they transcend borders, you know?
Definitely. I completely agree with that. And I think that's what we're going to see in the film that you did. We're going to see that merging together. And I think it's just so beautiful. It's the beauty of film. Those are all the questions I have. I don't know if I missed anything, if you want to mention anything extra for the audience to know about the film or anything that I have missed.
I think like definitely check out our website, Almost Home, for updates, and Kamal Khan, our wonderful, you know, actor and as well as writer, has come up with a project that I really think could be a wonderful project for people to start building bridges of peace, because although it is about war, we also say that the film is about peace.
Yes.
So that's the message that I want people to take home with them, because we're almost home.
Yeah, exactly. That's wonderful. Perfect title. That's wonderful. I will make sure to tag the website. Do you have a page as well that I could let people know to follow your work?
Yes. My personal company is called Rising Tides Films. And my idea is that rising tides lifts all boats.
Amazing.
So, you know, the idea is that your success is my success as a brown and, you know, diverse woman. And it's just like the more boats we have, the more we rise, because if we all start to push each other boats down, we're all going to drown. So exactly. In my mind, I don't understand the competitive edge that sometimes people have in Hollywood for making films.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a collaboration, because again, to just bring the whole conversation around, filmmaking is such a collaboration, and
exactly.
It's all about partners and building trust with others to make a beautiful project together.
Exactly. Well said. That's wonderful. It was a pleasure to meet you and to get to know a little bit about you and this amazing project. And I really hope to see more of your work in the future as well, and hope to see this movie do incredibly well in the festival season.
Thank you so much, Victoria. It was so lovely to meet you. And yeah, let's keep in touch. Thank you so much for your kind words.
Perfect. Have a wonderful day.
You too, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Action Magazine, the podcast. Keep creating, keep dreaming, and stay in action. Catch you next week.